Gerald, how are you?
All right, man. How you been?
Same old, same old. Bad guys need, flapping around. The one thing that I wanted to make sure we got, of course, there's the news and everything. Oh, my goodness, time to talk to Gerald. But the main thing that I wanted to focus on is precious metals. I'm really interested in silver, and I missed it. We wanted to do this. I've been predicting, here we go, everybody, it's time to silver. I'm taking some crypto for silver and silver. And so we were okay, but we didn't get to talk about it, so the audience missed it.
Okay.
I'm going, yep, here goes silver. And I'm wanting to get an idea. And then your MF Global experience, I don't want to dwell on that and spend a bunch of time, but if you could do like 40 seconds of, had a good deal. If I did a future on this, I'm going to take delivery on the gold, and then rehypothecation, a new word we learned,
Okay.
And then we'll, go from there. So I don't want people making the same kind of mistakes. Read the fine print, because it said, and I learned that new word. I was going, what the hell just happened? Who it was Charles Goyette. He's, you may know him, but he, popular talk show host, and he did Ron Paul's America with him on 120 stations for a couple of years. And, I go, what the heck happened? And he goes, you just need to look up one word. And I go, okay, what? He goes, rehypothecation. I went and looked that up, and I go, oh, in the fine print. So you can share with that. And then what else did you want to share with us? What be a coming?
Well, the people really need to watch out what's going on overseas, and that's what we don't have any knowledge on. And if war breaks out and it's heating up with Israel, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and the United States, and that's a big one. And the other one is, the two others are Hong Kong and China, and India and Pakistan.
Are you paying attention to that very much on the Hong Kong?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good. Superficially. I mean, we know some people that, been there, going there, were there, they do, and it's just, I'm not getting the impression that there's a really good overall view that I understand who's playing what, until I find out that they had this Hong Kong Democracy Act of whatever Congress thing, that they actually have an office there that is charged with helping the dissenters, and China's like, well, you guys are doing the hell you're not. You got a freaking office for doing this very thing. So you know what I'm talking about?
Yep. Yeah, but it's bigger than that, in the sense that this is the Western banking hub.
Yeah.
And that's their gateway to Asia. This thing goes down, China's not going to let it happen. There's no way in the world. They're not going to let it happen.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
And so this is really big. Plus, what's going on with India, ripping up the 1947 deal and taking over Kashmir like this.
Yeah, no, all this stuff. I'm so glad you're up on that, because it's going to affect us, and it's going to play into the future. I'm not sure.
Going back to silver and gold and all that. A lot of this is driving the markets.
All right, here, we're coming in. All right, get ready. Here we go.
Safety by any means necessary.
This is the Onion News Network.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yep. Unafeared, 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 you're undeclared, you're independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAU Tifo Studios of Freems of the Last, freemsphoenix.com. Gerald Celente, trendsresearch.com. His most recent article I got here is that, as forecast, the gold bull run has begun. Well, that's why we wanted to have him come on, and we missed it by like a week or something, because we knew this was coming. I'm going, yeah, I'm thinking precious metals is going to be doing a thing. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Gerald's been paying attention to Hong Kong and India and the Kashmir thing and so on. We had a conversation with James Corbett last night about such things, but kind of an overview, you know, from space looking down kind of thing. Gerald, maybe a little bit closer, you know, a little bit more up close and personal. We're going to talk about it. Gerald Celente, who developed the Globalnomic methodology to identify, track, forecast, and manage trends, is a political atheist. Unencumbered by political dogma, rigid ideology, or conventional wisdom, Celente, whose motto is think for yourself, observes and analyzes the current events, forming future trends for what they are. Not for the way he wants them to be. A true American patriot, Celente owns 3 pre-revolutionary stone buildings on the most historic corner in America, where the seeds of democracy were sown. Colonial Kingston, New York's first capital, which Gerald is very proud of. How's it going on your colonial corner there?
The whole area is up here is changing very dramatically. People from Brooklyn are flooding up to Kingston. It's about 90 miles north. It's the foothills of the Catskill Mountains. It's, you know, beautiful. Matter of fact, this is the fall weather is already starting to, we could feel it in the air already. This was the third Dutch settlement. I mean, they didn't settle here by mistake. It was so rich in resources. So I'm very lucky to be here.
Yeah, no, they you start building some old buildings. Where do they build first? Where it's the nicest. So, yep. You know, so I'm hip to that. We go back. You mind if we come take a visit? You know, we get
back. Anytime. Love to see you.
Yeah, no, I'd like to go, you know, check it out. You're so proud of it. Have you done a lot of renovation or anything? Or you just?
Oh, yeah, one building, the 1774 Academy. It was the famous Hudson River painter, John Vanderlyn, whose work is in the Capitol Rotunda, went to school there. This was the first or second school in America. And when I bought it, it was vacant for 5 years. And we ripped the whole place apart and put a lot of money into it. I had a good partner at the time. He was Palestinian, and we brought in Jerusalem limestone from Palestine, 3/4 inch thick pieces, 3.5 by 6 feet. Beautiful, long. And anyway, you can look this up. It's called Rough Draft in Books. We rented it out to this young couple, and it makes the New York Times. I mean, it makes the world news. The place is so packed. It's a bookstore that serves beer and wine in this on the corner of, you're looking out the window. You're looking across the street to 1681 Person House. Across the street from that is the 1750s Franz Rogan House. Across the street from that is the 1763 Dr. Jensen House. And again, it's the only 4 corners with pre-Revolutionary War stone buildings on each corner. So, and also the New York Times just did a story. Make your reservations now, 90 miles from New York City. The restaurants up here are like the top of the top. Right next to me is an old Bank of New York that they turned into a boutique hotel, the Kinsley, with a perfectly fine restaurant. You could be sitting in this place, Ernest, and you think that you could be in France, in London, or anywhere in the world.
Now, we're looking at a picture. You know, it's, you got kind of the colonial. There's narrow sidewalks, though. It's not like you have this big, giant, you know, sidewalk to deal with, but you got the stone buildings and beautiful trees. That's nice. I mean, that gives you, you know, kind of a reset on things, but it also gives you a sense of, you know, history. You know, what started this? Why? I mean, you keep coming across that nostalgia of what was the promise and where we are now.
Well, that's why I bought these, is I was looking to leave the country. And back in 2010, I was down in, you know, all over. And I was back, and then I went to Berlin in 2012, April 17th. And we were opening the magazine in Germany, the Trends Journal. And they're showing me all around what East Germany is, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I'm sitting having a beer in this beautiful street in Berlin. And I'm looking across the street, and I see this beautiful 1880s, maybe, building. And at the same height, for as far as you could see, all new construction. And that's what you see throughout Germany. Everything bombed out, new construction, old house, new construction. And I'm thinking to myself, in the 1930s, Germany was at the height of Western civilization, culturally, scientifically, philosophically. Berlin, and I spent a lot of time in Paris, I used to date Marie Pierre, and Berlin was grander than Paris before it was bombed out. And I'm saying, how can they let, the damn thing was going to come to an end. Couldn't they end it before they destroyed everything? How could they let this two-bit freak that Charlie Chaplin played better than he did destroy what they have? And then I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm an Italian, you know, Puccini, Rossini, Michelangelo, look at the history of Italy. How could they let a freak like Mussolini destroy what they had? I came back on April 27th, and there was a for sale sign on the Franz Rogan building. It went up when I was away. I took possession of the building. Remember, this is April 27th. I took possession of the building on June 1st. And then I ended up buying the other two. And the fourth one, the Person House is a museum. I said, I can't run away. There are two big freaks everywhere. This is my country. Love it or leave it? No, you leave it. I had enough of your crap. By the way, the courthouse that I'm looking at right now, at that location, oh, you have heard of that guy, John Jay? Oh, yeah, him? Yeah, he was one of the judges in that courthouse, and when this was the first capital of New York State, the Constitution that they wrote for New York State, over 70% of it comes from the Constitution from Kingston. And three other Supreme Court judges with judges over here. The seeds of democracy was sown here. That's why I stand up and fight for it. And I put my money where my heart and my mouth are. I launched Occupy Peace from those four corners, closed down the streets, had Ralph Nader, Cindy Sheehan, Robert Thurman, Uma Thurman's father, a renowned Buddhist, and Gary Null from New York City, very well known for the work he does. So that's why I'm here. Because there's no running away. This is my country.
Okay.
What, I got these little freaks telling me what to do?
All right, Gerald, this is why I wanted to talk to you, man, because there's a continuation of thought here from the beginning of why we, you know, left Europe, come here, build a life, somebody to tell us what to do, and we just kept switching, you know, other people to tell us what to do. When they did the Constitution, I'm not a big Constitution fan. Declaration, Bill of Rights, I'm all over that. But the Constitution itself, I don't know if that was the best they thought they could do or something, but I'm more Articles Confederation kind of guy. And I just, this was, it started going bad when they consolidated the power like this. And I'm wondering what's next. In your future trends, is it future trends show that there's going to be, you know, the United States of America incorporated in her interest of whatever the way it is now, or something different? And how might that happen? What would it look like? And we're going to start by talking about precious metals, because this is something that a lot of people are nat, until it happens. And they go, oh, yeah, well, that's a fluke that it happened, like, regularly every 10 years. You know, there's a reset. There's always a reset. Well, how reset is it going to get? Gerald Celente is going to help us. Crimes of the Crown by Captain Mark. The crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. Cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories, while I say these hobgoblins are imaginary. I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. The crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find.
Is spreading the message.
Yeah, Gerald, you got to go pirate, man. Got all kinds of pirate goodies going on. You know, it's go to PiratesWithoutBorders.com and read the letters of Captain Mark. It's just simple, 300-word, you know, I raised my black banner because of this, man, because you guys suck. Oh, yeah, and we got a pirate ship, too. And the top left, you look at the, it says, Precariat, take the virtual tour. The name of our ship is the Precariat, and that was Bilderberger. They had a few years ago, Luke Radowski was there, and they had this talk, and it was, we got to deal with the Precariat, you know, and I'm like, what the hell are they talking about? It was a guy named Guy Standing wrote a book in the United Kingdom, and he was talking about these kids and millennials coming up with big giant student debt, and they don't know how to do anything, and no job, and the degree that's worthless, and they've been commercialized and want the next I everything, and they, you know, I need a universal basic income, and they live a precarious existence, the Precariat, okay? So I go, yep, precarious existence, that's the name of the ship.
That's great.
So then we have...
Now, what's the name of the site again?
PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
Okay.
Yeah, if you go there, in the top left, each one of these icons, like communication, energy, shelter, food, water, health, transportation, automation, education, each one of these categories is by decentralizing power down to the individual. You know, you got better health care because you can do whatever you want. You know, you got
better... I'm right here now.
Yeah. Click on the top left where it says Precariat, take the virtual tour. Just click that. Let the video play, and you get to see our spaceship. Yeah, you'll dig it. It's an airship, so it's, buoyant. It's like a blimp, a zeppelin. But this thing is over 1,000 feet long, and I thought it was big until I just found out last week that they're...
Wow.
Planning a mile and a half long ship that uses the jet stream. The hull's 20,000 pounds and goes around the Earth on the jet stream. You know, okay, but this tech is coming.
Wow.
Are you watching the video?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool, huh?
Wow.
We're going to space and government's not invited.
Wow, this thing's wild.
Yeah, no, man. We're way down the road on this. They're starting to build, space disco nightclubs on it and designing cabins and the bridge because it's just a shell. It's just open. Now we're like, okay, they're designing the rooms and the cabins and the captain's cabin and his launch and the engine room and engineering and sick bay and, you know, recreation. They're hitting the recreation areas first, of course, but, you know, whatever motivates them. All right, here we come back.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Yeah, just take a looky-see. Talk to Gerald Celente. Explain it to us. Okay, real quick, Gerald. A few years ago, when you saw this was, coming before, you said, it's time to get me some more gold. And you thought you'd get a better deal by doing a futures thing with MF Global and Corzine, whatever. Just real quick, give me the 40-second version of that and what we learned from it and next.
Well, they closed down. I was doing futures trading. What I do is I play the futures, and then I take possession at the end. And just about a month before I was supposed to take possession, MF Global, and MF stands for mother, like you could say the last word. And they really effed me, too. They went out of business, and that was it. Boom, gone. And this, remember this guy Corzine? He was a senator from New Jersey? Yeah. And a member of the Goldman Sachs gang? Oh, yeah, that guy, too. So, by the way, very important. This was in October 2011. It's when gold peaked. When MF Global went down, gold went down, followed it down after that. People forget that. Anyway, I lost about $60,000 in that deal.
Oh, okay. Well, it wasn't like a billion. I thought it was
more. Oh, yeah, but for me, I'm a working guy.
Yeah, $60,000 is like a billion to me.
Yeah. a car I could have bought with $60,000. I mean, come on. Anyway, so it's a whole game is rigged. Well, all of Wall Street's rigged. As George Carlin used to say, it's one big club and you're not in it. It's Harvard, Princeton, Yale, bullets, bombs, and banks. End of story.
Well, now we're looking at it starting to go again for all the traditional fundamental you can't hold it off forever reasons. And I'm seeing, you know, silver and gold, it's making its little bobbin thing going on now. What do you think's going to happen?
Well, we sent a trend alert to our Trends Journal subscribers on June 6th of this year, the gold bull run. And gold was $1,332 an ounce. Since that time, it went up $200 an ounce.
I remember when gold was $200 an ounce.
My first buy was $187.50 back in the late 70s. So I've been following it since then. Silver follows gold. It doesn't lead. Gold does. And to me, gold, I've been saying this for 6 years when gold started going down, really going down. I said it had to break over the $1,450 an ounce mark. And it's done that. When I made the forecast, it was $1,332 an ounce. I knew it was strong because it went over the, again, you know, these are just numbers to people, but, you know, when you're following it all these years, you know, it's different. But it went over 1,325. I said, okay, now it's on the route where it could break over the $1,450 mark. Now, of course, as we're speaking, gold is $1,540. So gold to me now is going to spike toward the 2,000 mark. I don't give financial advice. I'm not telling people what to do. As you mentioned, the motto of the Trends Journal is think for yourself. But again, the reason people are buying gold, there are a number of them. One is that they're expecting the equity markets to go way down. This China trade stuff has nothing to do with it. Gold moves independent of that, and it has been. Number two is that, you know, Ernest, I've been on your show a lot of years. You're a nice guy. I like what you do. I got a bond for you to buy. I got a 20-year, 30-year, or 10-year bond. And because I like you so much, when you cash in those bonds in 10, 20, or 30 years, I'm going to give you less money than what you paid for it. We're going to call it negative yields.
Okay, I need to understand. I can't understand. Why is it that they're having negative returns? Even when it's at 2, 3, 4% and inflation's like double digits, it might as well be negative. Okay, so I'm looking at these. I give you money, I get less later. Why am I giving them money? Where is that money coming from?
People are going into government bonds because they're afraid of the financial conditions. So they want to put their money in a secure place. That's why they're doing it. And they realize, well, listen, I'm not making money there. Let me take a better risk, and I'll go into precious metals. That's what's driving the market up. You got guys like Ray Dalio, the founder and head of Bridgewater Associates, the largest hedge fund in the world, coming out 2 weeks after we issued our gold bull run trend alert, saying he's bullish on gold. So now you're talking hedge funds. And by the way, when we were young guys, there were no such thing as these hedge funds or private equity groups. These are just more than buying up everything. These are disgusting operations, putting all this money together to buy out corporations so you could become a worker in Slavelandia for the multinational plantation. So anyway, going back to it, when you hear guys like him saying it, you're seeing the recession worries, inverted bond yields, which means that if you get a 30-day bond, you're getting a better return than on a 10-year bond? Doesn't make sense.
Okay, now this is something, we had it on Freem's Phoenix. I haven't really gone all deep into it, but what they were saying is there are some indicators that have 100%, here it is, an indicator with a 100% perfect track record of predicting recession says you can believe that we will somehow beat the odds this time if you want, but history is completely against you. And what they're talking about is the 30-10 two-year treasury bonds and their inversion of one kind of, that's what they're talking about. Why is that an indicator? What does that mean?
Well, it's indicated for the last 50 years, every time there's been an inverted yield curve, we've gone into a recession. People are looking to they're afraid of what's going on in the markets, so they're investing in knowing that, you know, again, they're losing money by going into longer term yields, even though they're going to get less back, because they're concerned about what's going on. Now, when we talk about negative yields, you go to Switzerland, you put your money in the bank, minus 0.75% interest rate. They take money away from you. Same thing in the Netherlands.
Okay, I see it
happening. I know, it doesn't make any sense.
None!
This is why I'm saying
none.
It makes no sense.
So who's buying it? You're saying it's because they're
not. They're going into gold. That's why I'm trying to tell you.
But they're
buying them, too. There are 16 trillion with a T, $16 trillion worth of negative yield bonds that have been sold that are on the market right now, because that's how concerned the big money is.
Okay, I'm looking at the 30-year treasury. I always keep track of that. Every day I'm checking this just for grins and giggles to see what's going on, and it has plummeted to below 2%. And I'm going, that can't be a good sign. Because if you look at the max on this thing, I remember when I was young, it was up over 15%. And we're just going down, 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 down. We'll get
this
explained.
This is a special alert.
Yeah, special freaking alert. I'm still, Gerald, you think I know, and I don't. Because I'm looking at, when they're doing their best, Volcker wanted to save the dollar and the only way and raise interest rates, and then, oh my God, we owe all this money. Now, you have such an enormous $22 trillion-plus debt that even a percent is, there goes your whole entire budget just paying the interest. All income tax goes to pay the interest on our debt, and now it's going to be more and more and more and more to the point that it just collapses. So the gold is kind of, all right, well, they're just going to print money. They're pretty much guaranteed. They're already yelling they're going to do quantitative easing again. We need a full 100 basis points again, you know, through the 25 you just did reduction in, blah, 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 which means gold's going to shoot up, in
my
opinion.
That's what I'm saying.
All
right. I said gold's going to spike to the 2000.
Is this why? I mean,
Yes, this is. No, all the nations are now going to be doing more stimulus with quantitative easing. They're going to lower interest rates even deeper into negative territory in Europe.
Negative.
They're going to go to minus 0.5.
Negative, negative, negative.
Negative.
I know. 20 years ago, you were going.
By the way, my forecast is we're going to go into the Greatest Depression.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. I thought we already
would
have done it.
It's going to be worse than the last depression, much worse, for a number of reasons.
In July of 2008, right before it took a dump, I wrote an article, said, why we're all screwed, the greatest depression. And I detailed in there just my understanding of what I thought was going on. And when I found out how the stock market really works, and, you know, seed and co, and who has it, and it's really theirs, and you're not, and the naked shorts and all that, and we had Patrick Byrne on, you know, as he was going through his discovery and so on before he did blockchain and all that, back when he was doing the naked shorts on Overstock and so on. We were following this through, and I'm going, look, I may not be a genius. I didn't get my degree from, and I didn't go to, and I, you know, get it explained to me by the Fed and so on. But it seems to me that this is all BS, that they're just making it up as they go along, and it's just whatever they can get the talking heads on the news to say, and it's okay. And when they started actually touting negative interest rates, that's when they lost me. I don't have any understanding of the benefit of anybody putting it there. And you're going, oh, of course they're not. That's why they're, you know, gold's shooting up. But I'm going, not enough. It's these hedge funds. And a big thing is pensions. It's the pensions is what's going to, all the promises made to all these government employees and all these police and all these firemen and all these, you know, city workers and everybody pinky swear. And they're passing initiatives here in Arizona that the first thing on the budget item, you pay the pensions. And if you got anything over, we may have some, you know, citizen service here. And other than that, they actually passed ordinances to make it to where they get paid first, and then they keep increasing it. So I'm going, this does not end well. Illinois is already freaking out. New Jersey is ready to go. This is a replay of what happened a decade ago, and it's going to happen again. All these young guys, they don't see it because they didn't experience it. You know, they don't know. They need Gerald Celente to sit there and go, look, this is why, and this is what's coming. So what happened 10 years ago and what's happening now, when we come back, you give me kind of an order of magnitude, you know, of how different it's going to be and what's going to be the cure. Because there will be a flushing. Last time they held off the flushing. You know, they go, yeah, the malinvestment, you just band-aided it over. Well, they ain't going to be able to do that anymore. All right, you can tell me all about it. Here we go.
Broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Little less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more fight, a little less fun. A little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart and maybe satisfy me.
Baby! Yeah! Satisfy me! Gerald Celente is going to explain it to me. You know, I have Gerald on. He's been around a while and seen trends and up and down kind of over and night. It makes absolutely no sense to me until you look back over 20 years or something. You go, yep, that's of course that happened. But in the heat of it, while you're doing it, you're just, what the heck? It always balances out. Sooner or later, it's called math. So what math are we looking at compared to 09? Is it bigger, badder, worser, what? What were we looking at?
This is going to be worse than the Great Depression of the 1930s. We're calling it the Greatest Depression. That was our March Trends Journal. And the reason being, one of them, you got about a $270 trillion debt bubble. Take a country like China. You go back in 1996, not ancient history, all their total debt was $900 billion. Today, over $40
trillion. God.
Debt-to-GDP ratio, 300.
Now, who's that? Did you say that was China?
China.
No, China, you know, they keep, you know, we're the big bad dragon and we're going to whip ass, and this little trade war thing going on, how are they going to fare on this thing? Are they going to make it?
Well, yeah, they're going to, you know, it's really, all of Trump's tariffs from all the data that's out there that I've read, they've only affected China's GDP at a rate of 0.6%, which is nothing. So there isn't a trade war. It's a global slowdown. Take a country like India. India has, you know, four consecutive quarters of slowing GDP growth, 1.4 billion people. Their Nifty 50 stock market's down over 10%. They got, as I said, 1.4 billion people and 1.4 billion problems. They have drought conditions. They have flood conditions. The place is a mess. You take go around the world. Oh, it's happy days down there in Argentina, isn't it? Not only about a 50% interest rate. A 57% interest rate. 50% devaluation of the peso already this year. Inflation skyrocketing. Unemployment about 23%. Oh, but it's great going. I mean, go around the world. Oh, Germany, the fourth largest economy in the world, going into recession.
Okay, now Germany, I wanted to ask a quick question before we get into, you know, some of the other stuff. But Germany is the bank for all of the European Union, it seems like. As Europe goes, so goes Germany. All these other people, it's always when things are going to crap, it's better to be the guy that owes the money than the guy that, you know, wants to collect it. You know, so where's Germany going to go when all these countries aren't able to pay? Are they just going to print more money? What are they doing?
Well, you know, they have a positive, unlike the United States, they're not in debt. So now they're being pushed to more stimulus, you know, to government stimulus, infrastructure building, that kind of thing. That's what you're going to see a lot.
Okay, Germany doesn't have a national debt. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, they don't have a debt.
Okay, no, but they've been lending out to everybody and their grandma, I guess, because they can.
Look at Deutsche Bank.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, so you want to see a problem. European banks, by the way, fired over 30,000 people since April. Deutsche Bank is in deep trouble. So you're going to see a crash like we've never seen before. And the implications are going to be much, much worse. Because go back to the 1930s. We had about 2 billion people on the planet. How many do we have now?
I don't know, 7, 8, a lot.
Yeah, about 7.5 billion. We added 5.5 billion people in less than 100 years. All right, now let's go to the immigration problem and the migrant problem and the refugee problem. You think you see anything now? You haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
People will be flooding across borders from Africa to South America trying to find work. In the United States, in Europe, all over the world, you are going to see social unrest at levels we've never seen before. When people lose everything, and they have nothing left to lose, they lose it. And people are going to start losing it.
Are we? Should we have a wall? Is there a wall thing in your future?
I don't believe in the wall. I believe in the technology today. We don't need a wall. And one of my foundations of Occupy Peace, there are four of them. One is to bring the troops home from these bases, 800 of them overseas, and use our troops to secure the homeland and to rebuild our third world infrastructure. Going back to the 1930s, they had the WPA, Works Progress Administration. Oh, the Hoover Dam, all these highways, on and on and on. Put our troops to work rebuilding our nation and giving them skills, because they don't have them when they get out of there, most of them. And you look what's going on in the construction industry. They're all complaining they can't find people with skills. So that's what I would do with the wall. Oh, and the other thing I agree with, I don't agree with any of Trump's foreign policy. I find it totally disgusting what he's done to Iran, to what he's doing to Venezuela. I find it totally out of place. So I want to make that clear. I don't like this guy. I totally agree with him on closing the borders. What I believe we should have is a referendum. A, yes, I want to bring in more people from overseas. I'm willing to pay X amount of tax dollars to house them, to clothe them, to feed them, and to educate them. B, no, I don't want to pay. I will pay X amount of dollars to secure the borders. Let we the people decide. What I also agree with Trump on, we don't need China. We need them for nothing. The only people who need them are the lousy, stinking, rotten scum manufacturers in this country, the Apples, the Nikes, the Levi's, that want to get their stuff made by slave labor and bring it back and mark up the price.
You know, this
so
is...
We don't need China for anything. Chinese food, maybe.
Okay, this is one thing that, that's what brought me in, was international trade, my father's company making whatever, and I got in to the middle of all this, and I'm the best trade competitiveness act of 88, and I'm going, whoa, I seen this, you know, in school. It's called fascism.
And you got it.
So I could see what was happening, and certainly they were telling me how bad this was, and then it happened. But if you put an American flag on, it's not so bad. So I'm just going, nope, I see where this goes. Well, it's gone there. And now with the idea that you've been, for years, you've been telling me it's going to go back to local mom and pop, it's going to be quality materials and quality items and quality, and it's going to last a little longer, and screw Harbor Freight. So I'm going, okay, I'm seeing that starting to happen. You have small garage businesses, people doing their Etsy thing, they're going online, you're getting quiet. And I look for things, you know, after time I go, yeah, I need one of those that I don't have to buy 15 times. I'll get that. Well, instead of the $19 fold-out chair, I'll pay for the $40 one that'll last five times as long. So, you know, but sometimes you can get cheaper stuff and you can buy three of them and it lasts twice as long as a good one. So these are all individual decisions that we can make, but it's an attitude that we start going for, yeah, maybe I'll go Made in America. Maybe I'll go, you know, and get this, you know, from a local vendor. Maybe I'll go to the food fair and I'll buy it and not pay the tax. Maybe. So what is the standard that you're looking at when you go and you make purchases? Because it comes down to the individual, the family, the mom, the soccer mom, the guy that's doing the shopping at Costco for his family, the whatever it is, you're thinking the little bitty anarchist decisions to espouse this philosophy that you're talking about. How does it affect your grocery cart? You know, what are you looking at?
It won't work now unless they bring the jobs back and people can make more money. The stupidity of this whole thing is, well, you know, if we make it over here, you're going to have to pay more for it. No, if you make it over here, we're going to have to pay more for it, but you're going to have to pay people to make it, and you won't make as much money as your manufacturer. And that's all they're interested in, is their bottom line, not the people.
Well, this is where Trump comes in. Yeah, we don't need to screw China. We're not going to... See, but there's a lot of, you know, the free market guys are going, eh, but they're really talking about this globalization thing is not just individuals and free people dealing with free people freely. It's this managed thing. It's always managed. That's where it goes wrong.
From the third letter of Captain Mark. The Crown's observation conditions us to be dishonest with ourselves. Therefore, constant surveillance produces a society of constant deception. Honest communication is the seed of civilized conduct. To deny us this seed is to deny us its fruits. But the Crown's primary objective is to stifle free thought itself, to make its subjects incapable of dissent. Seasoned pirates have always encrypted messages and codes and ciphers, so intercepted transmissions were incomprehensible. But today, the Crown possesses advanced tools of pattern recognition that document, profile, and predict our every move. Today, piracy requires hailing frequencies completely invisible to the Crown. We are tired of poltergeists in the static. Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels, or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Yeah, pirates, third letter. The whole letter, you should, you know, read the third letter of Captain Mark, man. The Boris Johnson seizes power. He's doing, you know, the Brexit thing. So he got the Queen's cooperation in canceling Parliament until after the hard Brexit of just, you know, and we're done. You know, you got any Brexit opinions?
It's not going to make, you know, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference. It'll hurt because the whole thing is going down. That's what I'm trying to say. So,
well, is Britain better off not being in the middle of it?
Oh, I think so. Of course they're better off. All this globalization has only enriched the multinationals.
Yeah, see, the globalization, you know, everybody wants to hijack a word and define it and do whatever the hell they want. To me, I'm a globalized individual. Yeah, I globally trade and go and do, and everybody can suck it, and I'm global. But that's not what they're talking about. It's this one world managed government allowed Crown permission slip. If it pleases the Crown, may I trade with this kid in the Amazon? I mean, you know, it's managed, and it's managed for whom? Where is
it's managed for the multinationals and the banksters. That's it.
All right.
You know, what killed this country is the deregulations of the Robinson-Patman Act, Sherman Antitrust Act, and Clayton Antitrust Act that allowed the Costco's and the Kohl's and the Targets and the Macy's and the Walmarts and all the Home Depots and the Staples. In the old days, if you wanted to buy, I want to buy 7 dozen of those. You want to buy 100 dozen of them. We both get the same price under the old laws. And then they changed it so the bigs could buy more and knock down the price and get more take more business away.
Well, I don't mind the volume aspect. I mean, I'm for freedom. That's not what happens, though. They always create this environment, you know, for them to be able, it's freedom, and we got the big box, and then competition is squashed out with some regulation, a compliance officer. If you need to have millions of dollars of, you got to do this before you can even get in the same club. And this is what's happening with the social media. They want to turn Facebook, Google, all these guys into utilities or something or whatever. See, it's their private company. They should do what they want. Fine. Then they got to, you know, quit getting subsidized, quit getting helped, quit getting, you know, preventing competition. That's what always happens. And I've always been for the future that doesn't allow for that, that you have a decentralized, it doesn't matter, you don't even know they're there. They're encrypted, they're offline, they're black market of Silk Road of suck it. You do that, and it doesn't even matter what you're, you know, pitching a bitch about, and then we're
Look, I'm all in favor of direct democracy.
All right, here we're coming.
Updates.lrn.fm. That's updates.lrn.fm. There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
You could look, but you ain't gonna find it around. It's the same old story,
same
old song and dance, my friend. It's the
same
old story,
same
old story,
same old song and dance. Where have I heard this before? Same. You're going to fix it for me, and you got to be afeared and want everybody to know why they need us. And I'm wondering, we look at Boris Johnson is the prime minister now, he's got his kind of own unique Trump haircut going on. And he goes to the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth, and he says, this is what I want to do. I need your permission, lay hands on it and tap my shoulder with the sword or whatever. And we're closing Parliament until after the deadline, and we're going to have a hard Brexit, exit from the European Union. And I'm going, cool, whatever you guys keep yakking about, do it, don't do it. Now, we have some friends that we made in Acapulco, a young couple from Ireland that are coming in a few weeks, and they're going to be, we've been talking about, they're in Southern Ireland, so that's going to, they're trying to scare them. Oh, my God, you're going to be walled off from Northern Ireland, blah, 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 blah. Well, I'm wondering with all the consternation that's going to be coming to Europe, is England better off exiting or not? And how's that going to go for them? Does anybody really care? Who are the forces going back and forth and why?
The people want to leave. And I'm in favor of direct democracy. Let the people do what they want. They saw their country decline because of the global trade and the orders coming from the European Union. They want to be their own nation. It's going to hurt. There's no question about it. Not particularly because of Brexit, but because of what's going on globally. There's a global slowdown going on. This is going to exacerbate it at some point, but it's in the making already. And again, as I said, we're on the cusp of the greatest depression. The United States, I believe, is going to get through it until about 2021, because the Federal Reserve is going to keep lowering interest rates. And they don't have a lot of monetary methadone to shoot back into the addicted bull. We were all talking before about the negative rates around the world. And in the United States, when we had the last recession, they could lower interest rates 5%. Now they only got 2% to go down, so they don't have a lot there. So Brexit's going to definitely hurt, and but it's part of the whole populist movement that's sweeping through Europe with the AfD party, the Alternative for Deutschland in Germany, with the Freedom Party in Austria, and with the in Italy with the Five Star Movement and League. So the people have had it because they've seen their lifestyles decline so dramatically, and they're tired of taking orders from the top.
That's one thing that I've noticed. You talk to a lot of these people. They'll do it in English. English is like second or first language for all of Europe pretty much anyway. But when I've had people here and I go, oh, look, we translate Freedom's Phoenix into 39 languages. And you just punch this in and they go, I speak English. All of us speak English. I don't know what the hell you're doing. I'm going, oh, okay. So when you see videos from these people talking about this, almost all of them mention the inspiration that they got from the election of Trump. They saw that the people rose up against the whatever, and it inspired them. And then Steve, Bannon going around Europe trying to, this populist, yes, you too can have a say, and it's causing constant, man, they don't like it one little bitty bit. So I'm wondering if there's, those start to lose control, they always get an excuse to have a war. Are you worried about that?
Yeah, when all else fails, they take you to war. That's what's going on with India and Pakistan. India's economy is going way down after Modi got elected prime minister and by a big majority.
Yeah, he tried to go to all digital money, no cash anymore.
That's right, and now what's going on with them in Pakistan? I mean, they already fought over Kashmir before, killed about 50,000 innocent people, and now India's ramped that up again by ripping up the 1947 agreement and taking any kind of autonomy away from Kashmir.
Why?
Which Pakistan says we own. Now, Pakistan's economy is in the toilet. They don't have one anymore. So, again, Pakistan doesn't want this to happen, but it's going to happen. And now you have two nuclear countries at war with each other if this thing keeps escalating. And then, again, look what's going on with Iran. Between Israel, I mean, what did Israel last week do? Oh, they bombed places in Iraq, in Lebanon, and in Syria, and they're blaming, you know why they're doing it?
Three countries.
Because of the Iranians, they say. So now if we go, you know why Trump didn't retaliate when the Iranians shot down that drone? That $100 million drone?
Yeah, there was no loss of life and it was on their property.
No.
Why? I don't know why.
He said, you know, I was going to retaliate, but we would have killed over 150 people. Because if he would have done anything to Iran, it would have been Pearl Harbor in the Straits of Hormuz.
Yeah.
These aren't the Iraqis. They're not the Libyans. They're not the Syrians. They're not the Afghans. These are the Persians. They've been around a long time, and they're not going anywhere.
And they're smart, and they're sophisticated, and they got tech, and they're building their own. They have engineers and capability and educated and, you know, and kick-ass. And I'm going, this is not going to go well, but they keep pressing on Iran. Why? Is it because they gave the middle finger to us?
Sick SOBs. That's why. They're sick, deranged people. People call them their presidents, prime ministers, and chancellors. They're out of their damn minds. They're psychopaths and sociopaths. Hey, here. You know, I don't like that guy over. I don't like those people in El Paso. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to kill those people. I don't like those people in Dayton. I don't like those people in that place. I'm going to blow their brains out. I got to get rid of that Gaddafi. I've had it with him. I don't want him there anymore. I don't care who you kill or how many. Get that guy Hussein out of there. I don't care if it costs a trillion and you kill a million. I don't want him out of there anymore. What makes them any different? What makes them any different?
I'm not seeing a whole lot of
I don't
goodness.
See any difference. Assad has to go. I don't give a damn if you kill 500,000 people.
Okay, why? You know,
because they're deranged people.
Okay, so you're just getting their crazy.
They should be mental institutions. Instead, they're running the governments.
Well, this is what power consolidated does. You know, that's why I'm always defaulting to sooner or later it turns into it's more important to protect the organization than the reason it was created. And I'm
they're sick people.
All right, so now the solution's going to be what?
You know, direct democracy. Let the people vote. We could do it blockchain democracy.
God, we got to do something better because I got stories
Let
on.
Let the people decide. Let us decide. You know what these people forgot? You know what? From the top, from Trump down to the local guy or woman, public servant. Could you get that in your head? Could you get that in your head?
Do you all right, Gerald? Before we end this, I gotta ask. Do you really think that we can, you know, put all? It's like a Tom Clancy novel, man. If we only had the right people. If Jack Ryan filled all the positions,
there is no right people.
That's my point. So, what is the structure that we're going to have?
Direct democracy,
okay.
Like they do in Switzerland.
So you're for like changing the constitution, doing away with what kind of break it, do it in different kind of government as just a computer manager and make sure I get my accurate
you got
vote.
You got it.
All right. I mean, it hasn't worked. It hasn't prevented the predation. It hasn't prevented the bad guys.
It's dragging us down to the bottom. This country's going down so fast. Look around. You look around. You know what's going on.
Well, I tell you, you know, if I get you to read the letters on, they're not long. I mean, you can get the book for, you know, on Amazon, and it's, 48 pages or something like that. But it's Pirates Without Borders, we took the time on each of these issues and put the crown is the government. It's all the centralized. It's the crown versus us. And we're just going pirate. Yeah, you call pirate all you want. I'm over here. I'm out. I'm against all flags. And if you look at the philosophy on each of these issues that we talk about consent of the travelers, kind of the immigration thing. We have cryptocurrency, pirate communications, the sweet trade, economics, you know, the medicine, open ocean medicine. I mean, all that. We address these things the way it should be. Freedom's the answer. What's the freaking question? Now, I'm telling you, if you want to know what's coming to get the trends on and who's been right and calling it all these years, Gerald Celente. You go to his site at, pull it up here, make sure I get it right, trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com. You got a newsletter they sign up for, too, you can get regular with you?
Of course, the Trends Journal.
The Trends Journal. How do they get it? Is it on trendsresearch.com they can get it?
Yep, or they go to trendsjournal.com.
Trendsjournal.com. Gerald Celente, been a good friend of the show for a long time. Help explain it to us, and things are going to be a-changing. How certain are you? How certain? Is it now?
Oh, yeah, the Greatest Depression by 2021.
Boom! The Greatest Depression by 2021, so saith Gerald Celente.
Are you making sense to the...
Boom! Thank you, Gerald.
Okay, man. Thanks for all you do. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thanks for you being there. I'm glad you came on. This is a good timing for me. All right. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Take care.
To you later.
Bye-bye. Yep.